Lights. Camera. Action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Oh, g'day, man. There you go.
Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Podcast. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, here on, of course, the Phantom Podcast Network's place for action cinema discussion and, of course, knowledge for you, the Lethal Mullet, here from me, the Lethal Mullet. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, and, of course, we're going to be looking at an amazing action film today. And, of course, it's a review episode, so it'll be somewhat shorter than what you're used to, as we have our regular episode, episode number 244. Looking at Speed, that's the Jan de Bont film, which spearheaded the action career of one dude by the name of Keanu Reeves, man. Keanu Charles Reeves, man. Get it right, man. I'm an FBI agent, man. Keanu Reeves. No, he doesn't talk like that. Keanu's actually one of the nicest people you're going to meet out there. We all know that. We've seen the videos, and I've seen him in person playing with his band in Alex Hill's Hotel many years ago, and he was fantastic. So big kudos to the man, and of course Dogstar, and of course he had an eyebrows and no hair at the time. Go figure. Of course, that was for the one, the only Matrix films. And you know, apparently the news is there's another one coming, a fourth film, which will be directed by a different set of directors or director in this case, I think. And we'll see what happens. But the Wachowskis have done an amazing job all the way through and really gave us an amazing series, even the last one, even though it didn't quite perform to what they were after, I think, you know, money-wise. It was a smart movie and one that, again, we'll no doubt talk about in the future here on the show. But let's get back to it. We're talking about tonight, of course, about Roadhouse, 2024 film, which is, of course, directed by Doug Liman. It is a great film. It is a real... obviously, it's a big thing for Amazon Prime. It's a huge thing that they're pushing on their channel for good reason. It's a great film. And it's a 2024 film directed by, of course, the Bourne Identity's Doug Liman, of course, director of Jumper, many other great films. And it's based on a screenplay by Anthony Bergarozzi and, of course, Chuck Mondry. It's a remake of a classic Patrick Swayze film. If you don't know it and you haven't seen it, I suggest you do. This new one stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Daniel Melchior, Conor McGregor in his actual debut. That's right. This is his feature film debut. And stars J.D. Pardo, Arturo Castro, Billy Magnuson. And it's produced by the one, the only, the legendary Joel Silver. And it's premiered on March 21, 2024 on Prime Video. And I remember it because I was sitting in my lounge room watching the damn thing with the pups. And it was a lot of fun. So it's got a mixed review by some, and we will talk about that. We'll certainly talk about a certain episode of an FPN show that we have here. It was a great show, and obviously they had a great guest on it too, with one of the stars of the original Roadhouse. However, I may not fully agree with their criticism of the film. You know, again, action movies are action movies. They're lean, mean machines, and yeah, we'll get into that very soon. So we've talked about, obviously, this is based on Roadhouse, which was by David Lee Henry. Now, cinematography on this one was done by Henry Braham, edited by Doc Kreutzker, and, of course, music by Christopher Beck. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer were behind this, of course, with Silver Pictures, distributed by Amazon MGM Studios. Running time's 121 minutes, and, of course, it's pretty lean what it is. There's not a lot of excess plot, and that's one we'll get onto very, very soon. So before we get into the story, and I'm going to do that a little bit later because I don't want those that don't want to be spoiled know too much about it just yet. But we will talk about the spoiler part of it soon when we get to it. I'll do my main review before we start to talk about that. So let's have a look at the cast quickly. Jake Gyllenhaal plays Elwood Dalton. That's right. Same character, of course, that we know from the Patrick Swayze film. Danny Ellar plays Ellie. We've got Conor McGregor playing Knox. Quite a real British name kind of thing. I think it suits it. Billy Magnussen plays Ben Brandt, who's kind of the bigwig. There's Jessica Williams as Frankie. BK Cannon as Laura. Joaquin de Almeida. That's right. The one, the only Desperado. That's right. He's, of course, one of the characters in Desperado, and he's been a lot of other stuff. Of course, Clear and Present Danger, you know, with old Harrison, old Harry. We've got Austin Post as Carter. Yes, that's that Post Malone guy. Look, I don't know much about this guy. He's a young fella, you know, covered in tattoos, and he's got the hair and the beard, and apparently he writes songs and stuff. And, the chicks dig him, and that's it. But he has a small part in this film. All gags, of course. He's pretty damn good, actually. I've got Lucas Gage as Billy, Dominique Columbus as Reef, Arturo Castro as Mo. He's quite good in this. I like the character of Mo. We'll talk about him a bit more in a minute. J.D. Pardo as Dell, one of the many bad guys in this as well. Bo Knapp as Vince, Hannah Lanier as Charlie, Kevin Carroll as Steven, Robert Menery as Jack, Darren Barnett as Sam, Travis Van Winkle as Dex. Thanks, Dex. Jay Heron as Jax Jetway Harris. So MGM began an idea of this being a reboot under Rob Cohen directing it with Michael Stokes writing. This is as far back as November in 2013. 2015, Cohen and Stokes had left it. The project, while MMA fighter that was behind it, was, of course, Ronda Rousey in the lead, which would have been interesting. I really like Ronda. I think she's got a lot of charisma. She's got a lot of presence. She was in one of the Expendables films. I think it was the third one. And she's quite good in. And again, she's strong. She's a great fighter. I mean, I would have no chance against, you know, somebody of her speed, power, and, of course, just finesse as a fighter. And I'm a big guy. But she is just amazing. Like, she is one of those people that, of course, obviously, she's had training with Judo Jean LaBelle. I mean, that sort of smartness of how to move the body, how to manipulate bodies, it's all part of this as well. So Nick Cassavetes was bored of the film as writer and director afterwards, and then it was put on hold. This is all the way through to 2021. Of course, MGM have been trying another attempts, and one was, of course, this one. And the studio had a great idea about it because there was a lot of commitment to Guy Ritchie's movie, The Covenant, which was one that, of course, Jake was part of, and Everest, which he was a part of, which was, I think, a couple of years before anyway. I don't remember that being out till like, 21 or something like that. Anyway, the new writer began to come on board, and they just basically went off into their own way. Casting, this was greenlit by, of course, Amazon Studios, and they went basically straight for what they needed. And, of course, it was billed around Gyllenhaal, so that was the idea to really give it that boost. Filming began in August 2022. Tell you what, folks, it is a mouthful, okay? Filming began in the Dominican Republic in August 2022, and on March 3rd, 2023, Gyllenhaal shot the scenes of his former UFC fighter Jay Heron following the Cimarroni weigh-in of UFC 285. That was at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's right, yeah, Las Vegas, Nevada, man. The scenes were done in front of all the fighters and fans in the weigh-in. And, of course, Dana White was there. And, of course, the announcer, John Anik, and others brought it all through. And then the walkout of Jake Gyllenhaal was there in the intermission event. It was on. Sorry, folks, had to do it. And, of course, music. Volker Bertelmann was the original one that was going to score this, but he'd left the project by January of 2024, and Christoph Beck was brought in as the new composer. So, obviously, it went out with South by Southwest. Was given a chance at there to see the film with, of course, the media and stuff like that. It was streaming on MGM Amazon, which is, of course, Prime Video, which came out March 21. And it's definitely been interesting, which we'll talk about the reception of that now. So here's what people are thinking about the film out there. I'll give you my review of it in a sec. So Rotten Tomatoes gave it 59%. This is based on 185 critics' reviews that are positive, an average of about 5.6 out of 10. Consensus is, and this is quote, Roadhouse updates a cult classic for a new generation, happily replicating the original's emphasis on cheesy, brawn over narrative brains. So we've got Owen Gleiberman of the Variety gave the film a positive review. He said if the first Roadhouse was a better Chuck Norris movie, the new one is something more uncanny. It's like a Jason Statham movie directed by Jonathan Demme. And that's what it really feels like. The film, in my perception, is a great canon movie. Now, if you watch this channel or watch the videos I've got or even listen to the podcast, you know I'm big on the lean, mean sort of films that were done in the 80s by canon. You know, a lot of these movies were very low budget, extremely low budget at the time, you know. They weren't even given a chance half the time because they're so lean for what they were going through, but they were very well made for what they were. And, of course, a lot of the time the scripts were so short because they ran out of money and they couldn't film something. And, of course, what would they do? The guys at Canon would just start ripping out pages out of the script and say, well, you just film the rest. So, again, that's one of the things that is definitely – there's a lot of character work for the leads but not so much for those around on the floor around them. So the film itself, yes, it's got part and part that follow, obviously, the original Roadhouse. There's elements, of course, like Jake. Now, Gyllenhaal is not Patrick Swayze, but the great thing about Gyllenhaal is that he worked on Donnie Darko with Patrick Swayze. So this kind of in some ways, this is spiritually continuing that they're fueled by honoring an old friend or an old comrade, if you like, in the film industry. With that too, obviously comes in with a different angle, it being now MMA. That's quite a popular thing out there right now. And that's something that obviously would bring in somebody like, of course, Conor McGregor as an adversary in the film. So we get to see, obviously, the same sort of idea of, bringing in somebody like Elwood Dalton into a pub that is not doing too well, thanks to somebody that wants to take over the land and basically take it as his own. Doesn't really matter what this Ben Brandt wants to do with, of course, the land that they're trying to take place. Now, of course, this is set in Florida, in Glass Keys, which is, a fictional town. And as Elwood is picked up and brought into the story, he's basically a homeless fighter, or in this case, bouncer of hire. And when he's brought in, this place that looks like it's from Hawaii or something like that. Obviously, it's Florida. It's very tropical. For us in Australia, it looks like Airlie Beach or looks like up above Mackay somewhere, something like that. Really tropical, beautiful area, real holiday place, and just really picturesque. For me, it looked like a cross between a Trundle Roadhouse and Miami Vice. It just looked great, except without the city and stuff like that too. So the real star for me is the location. It looks so refreshingly beautiful. It's something completely different. And I don't understand why my comrades here at FPN didn't get that feel. It's a holiday atmosphere. It's chill, right? Us Aussies like that shit. It's fucking chill. It's great. And so with that, we come into this beautiful big pub that he's obviously coming in and checking out. He does the same thing. It's basically the same beats when you get into it that happened in the original film, at least for the first half hour. And we get to see, obviously, him getting to know some people in the shops. Like, of course, there's a red shop in the first one. He gets parts. This time it's a bookstore. I like that what they've done here. And again, it's different. He gets to know some of the people. Does he need to know them fully? Does he need to know all their stories? Do we need to know them? No, probably not. Because it needs to be lean and mean, yeah? So as this keeps moving along, we get to see, obviously, two Ben Brandt's people coming in and, obviously, giving everyone a bit of a stir-up. And this is where we get to meet Mo and his friends. And, of course, we have that thing from the trailer you saw, which I think there was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but, of course, you get to know, hey, that's Dalton, that's that MMA guy. When he has a tussle with these guys, they all end up in a hospital, which he actually drives them to hospital, which I thought was funny. And Mo's like, hey, thanks, man. Thanks for driving us to hospital, man. Great character. I think it's really, it breaks the sort of levity of it a little bit. And as this goes on, of course, the legend of Dalton builds up. Again, follows the same beats, and the characters may not be around them the same caliber that they were in Roadhouse, as memorable as they are in Roadhouse, but it more than makes up for it when Knox turns up, which, of course, is the one and only Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor owns this movie. He walks in and literally takes head point. You know, there's no two ways about it. He's going to be an action star. It's going to be huge. He's definitely marked his terrain in this. And he got quite big for it. You know, he's not usually somebody that has a big build, but he put on size and he looks huge. Even his opening scene where he's running around struck naked, which is hilarious in this one. But as it builds up, it's great. And I think it really works for the character as he's outlandish. You never see the father of Ben Brennan. You know, it's more about what's going on. And so as this comes to it, we get to see him basically deal out justice, not only to, of course, Ben's men, but, of course, then goes out to the pub, and we get to see him smashing it up. And you could definitely tell, he, you know, his fighting style and everything has rubbed off on, of course, Jake. Jake looks really good at this. He's really spent some time building his body like a fighter and definitely has that feel. Yeah, and I only just noticed when I was watching it too that he's actually quite a bit taller than Conor. Shorter, so you know, there's that too, the height advantage there too. But I think you know, between those two, there's a respect on screen, you know, for how good they are as fighters and stuff like that too. So for me, with all that, plus the obviously the action and the build, and of course even the love interest in this with Danielle Melchior, this is a solid film, and it is a 5 out of 5 on, of course, Hellenbeck scale. All right, so we have talked about, we're going to head into spoilers now. We're going to quickly just go through the film's story as well. And talk about a little bit of commentary of what I think of it. It's really good. So it starts out with Elwood Dalton's UFC middleweight fight. And this is, he's living scamming fighters out of the underground circuit. This is where we see him approached by Frankie, who owns the Florida Keys pub, of course, the Roadhouse at Glass Key. And she offers him the job as head bouncer, and Dalton just says, psh, nah. And basically, you know, he was then at a point where he just wants to commit suicide. He's had enough. And he tries to commit suicide by going over train tracks with a freight train is going to come and take him out. But from there, of course, he just gets out of that and literally shakes his head. Like, what am I doing? And then from here, gets on a bus and heads to, of course, the Roadhouse. This is where he gets to know Charlie, who's a teenager who runs the local bookstore, and you meet the father there too, Steve. Actually, really good. I think those two characters, you know, they probably could have been given a bit more story, but it was still pretty damn good. Now, when he gets to the Roadhouse, he takes out the motorcycle gang, and, of course, they were all working for, of course, Ben Brandt, the crime boss. And from here, he personally drives all of them to the hospital. Of course, he meets Ellie, who is played by, of course, Danielle Melchior. And she's the doctor that looks after it. Of course, she's actually quite pissed off that, what the fuck are you bringing all these people to my, you know, to my place? You know, I've got to look after all the, we're all finished. We've already done work. So obviously, see, you know, they don't like it for that reason. From here, Dalton starts to be the boss and, of course, mentors all the others that are going to be bouncers there. And, of course, the locals love him and he starts living in a houseboat. And this is, of course, interesting. It was kind of like giving me vibes of Miami Vice, obviously, with Don Johnson's boat. And this is where we also get to see others that bring in, of course, the old idea is, you know, there's crocodiles around, which is why really, really funny in this little bit too. There were vibes of like Miami Vice all the way through this. You know, that's why I love that sort of. Well, it's one of the reasons I moved to the Gold Coast originally too. So Knox, who's the enforcer for Brant's father, who's in prison, is given the job of hunting down Dalton and taking him out. So from here, he has a date with Ellie where they go right out to basically a big sandbank out in the heavy waters. And this is where Dalton is then threatened by a guy by the name of Sheriff Big Dick, played by Joaquin Aldemeter. He's told to get out of town. And then we find out, of course, it's Ellie's dad, who is obviously the daughter of the sheriff. And she said that her father is in league with Brant and is trying to obviously take on the drug empire's money and stuff like that too. So he meets Dalton at the roadhouse and taunts him about his everything about his past as Brant. You know, that he was a UFC title card, fight against a friend. Dalton was so rage-filled he killed his opponent in the ring. He killed his best mate. And this is where Knox then comes on in and starts on everybody. And this is where Dalton gets injured really, really badly. So this is where Frankie says that she admits that Brant has been buying out property to build a huge resort. So she's the only one that is standing firm and not wanting to go with the development. Dalton himself decides to then, of course, leave, but discovers that Charlie and Stephen are now in hospital after they'd burnt down the bookstore. This is where Dalton kills one of the thugs responsible and takes it and captures, obviously, Sherry's deputy, making a large delivery of Brant's illicit cash, taking out everything. So framing, obviously, the deputy for the murder, and then they're taking the cash. So here, from then on, stealing a bomb that had been taken on the motorboat all the way out to, of course, Brant's catamaran. Dalton then finds him with the sheriff in there and tell him that kidnapping was a lie to lure Dalton out. So from here, Brant reveals that he's actually holding Ellie hostage. So tempers get a bit much, and of course Knox gets onto the boat, and this is where you have this massive scene where basically the boat's already sinking and they have a huge fight out. And of course, you know, this is where Dalton and them have a big, huge fight. So from here we get to see Knox carjack a pickup truck and crashes into the roadhouse, leading to a massive fist fight with Dalton outside. And Brant orders him to kill Dalton. Knox snaps and Brant's neck instead. I guess he doesn't like his boss's son. And then, of course, he wants to take off Dalton with a piece of wood. But Dalton gains higher ground and stabs Knox a number of times. So from here, Frankie and Stephen begin to then rebuild the place. Charlie actually says goodbye to Dalton as he waits for his bus to get out of town. Stephen then discovers that Dalton has left them a massive amount of cash as the bus goes. And later on the mid-credit scene, we actually get to see, this is a funny bit, Knox has actually made it out and assaults the hospital staff and walks out in his gown. See, this is why you want to see this movie, folks. It is great. This is definitely a fun out of five on this.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Bloody Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU Podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville Show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.